There has been a mystery going on around here. It's been going on for some time now. I kind of put it in the back of my mind during Easter and all that we were doing. I just sort of forgot about it for a little bit. But now I think we need to come back to it and get to the heart of it right now. And I'm wondering if y'all have noticed it too. Somebody has been placing rocks, little bitty rocks, all over the place. Not just rocks, but rocks with words written on them. Have y'all seen them? Mm-hmm. You seen them there? You know, there are these messages of hope and love and peace painted right on them. It started, I think it was sometime around the end of February. That's as I remember, maybe during the beginning of Lent, maybe during that time. And all of a sudden, there they were. I mean, they were in the pews. They were up here in the choir loft. They were on the pulpit. They were in the kitchen. They were in the windowsills. They were out in the yard. I even found one on the door handle to my car when I went to get into my car one Sunday afternoon. Y'all, that does not happen by accident. I know you are out there and I'm watching you. I know you're doing it on purpose. It's a mystery. But it's a nice mystery, isn't it? A nice mystery. It's a mystery that's grounded in biblical history. It's a mystery that's grounded in faith. Because the truth is, God seems to be partial to rocks. Rocks are mentioned in the Bible over and over and over and over again. You know, you are my strength like a rock. You're my foundation. That all so many references to rocks in the Bible. So from the very beginning of everything, rocks have been scattered around as stepping stones for us to learn from, right? As we're walking this salvation journey into the kingdom of God, we have stepping stones on which to grow. Now here are just two or three from the Old Testament out of many, many, many examples. You remember, what did Jacob use for a pillow that first night when he was away from home and was traveling? Used a stone. I mean, it looks like he could have found something a little bit better than a rock to make for a pillow, but that's what he used. And that was the night that he dreamed about his famous ladder. We were climbing Jacob's ladder, and the angels were descending and ascending. And remember those 12 stones that were carried from the Jordan River by the homeless slaves that had finally gotten out of Egypt and traveled through the wilderness and had finally reached the promised land where they piled them up as an altar. And it was a stone, if you remember, that was called to be a reminder of the people's promise before God in Joshua. You know, God had told them who they were supposed to be and what they were supposed to do. And see, this stone shall be a witness against us. It has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. So the mention of stones, of rocks, is found throughout the Bible. They're not unfamiliar to us at all. Now, there are a lot of things we can do with stones, aren't there? They come in all shapes and sizes. Some stones are very smooth, or they've been under the water, and the water has run over them for miles and miles and miles and years and years and years, over and under and around them, and made them smooth and comfortable to hold. Some rocks are ragged and sharp, and they have a pretty dramatic and violent history. I imagine some of the rocks that you see on the table have been through quite a lot to have come out looking the way that they do. We can choose what to do with stones. We can choose to throw them. We can choose to stumble over them. We can choose to climb over them. I read a story this week about two neighbors, and between them, there was between their houses, there was this beautiful tree. And they both loved that tree so much. They loved it especially because it was filled with birds that sang beautiful songs. One neighbor would sing hymns, and it would seem like the birds were singing with him. And so he would keep on singing and just have such joy. the other neighbor would sing praise hymns and choruses again and again and again and again, and the birds would join in. The problem was, the neighbors both loved the tree, the neighbors both loved the birds, but the neighbors did not love each other very much at all. They didn't even like each other, not even a tiny bit. So when they heard the other one singing with the birds, they would yell insults and throw stones across the fence. Before long, all the birds had been killed from flying stones. And just as a little aside, here's the little moral to this story that we can learn. If we who love God spend our time throwing stones at each other, we'll kill the tender ones that God has sent us to love. That is not good, y'all. That is never, never, never good. But there's a fourth thing that we can do with stones. We can build with them. And I think this is where Peter was going with the scripture that Sandy read for us earlier. He was talking to the church, Peter was, or whoever wrote the book in Peter's name, and talking to the church when we were just a baby many, many, many years ago, when we knew so little, but we were so sure that we wanted to know more about Jesus. We wanted to be the church that Christ was calling us to be. We wanted to get it right, but we just weren't sure how. Because we weren't drinking solid, we were only drinking milk. We weren't eating solid food. We only knew just a little bit. The thing we knew was that the Lord was like anyone we'd ever known before. And the other thing we knew was that the Lord was good. And so we wanted to be good too. So Peter's telling the church, look, you can be good. You have everything that you need to be good, to build you a house that will bring you safety and comfort and peace and love. You have everything that you need to be a spiritual house in which you can grow and be healthy and learn and be more and more the people in the church that you're called to be, so that you can be more and more like the Christ who formed you. You have everything you need to do this. Because you have Jesus. And he is teaching you how to live. Says Peter, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner. Jesus has become our cornerstone. So when Jesus walked the earth, most people who knew him, you know, who were involved or around the area where his ministry lie and heard about them, even though we hear of crowds coming to him, the truth is that most people rejected him. Most were looking at him as a heretic. Most were looking at him as a problem, right? That's why they wanted to crucify him and get rid of him. But God... God was not looking at him in that way at all, was he? God was looking at Jesus as Messiah, the one sent to save. God had sent Jesus into the world to be our salvation. God sent Jesus in the world to be the one to teach us how to do life and how to do it right. God sent Jesus in the world to teach us how to love. And I would remind you again, y'all, and don't let anybody tell you differently, that love and salvation are always the same. Several years ago, I was in an airplane. I don't fly much, but I was in an airplane about to land at Shannon Airport in County Clare in the Republic of Ireland. Love to go back there sometime. And I must have had a window seat. I don't really remember the details of it, because I remember staring below and just being mesmerized and amazed and delighted all at the same time. Because when I looked down, what I saw was mile after mile of small fields that had been divided. Some were lush and green, and some were brown and just plowed and ready to be planted. And they were all divided, acre by acre, lot by lot, by beautiful stone fences. I put a picture of one on the front of your bulletin so you could see it today. So that from the air, if you look down, it looked like this giant jigsaw puzzle that somebody had just finished putting together and left on the table in the kitchen. And when I got down there and had a chance to look at those rock stone fences a little bit closer, I was even more amazed than I had been when I was in the sky. Because these fences, and listen, a lot of them had been built hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. We're still standing, and it was amazing to me that they were built without a bit of cement, without a bit of concrete, with no mortar, no putty, no sand, no shells, no super glue to hold them together, nothing. It was only the shapes of the stones and the angles at which they had been laid to support one another that's kept these fences up all these years. It really is an amazing thing. Each stone is different. And we can tell that they've been handled by the builder of the fence. They've been looked at. They've been considered. They've been maybe set back for another time to use. They've been maybe chiseled to fit a little bit more perfectly, or they've been left exactly like they are. And they're still there. All these years, still strong. They're still working together just as they were at the very beginning. Now, Peter says that we are living stones, that the church is built out of living stones, and that when we allow ourselves to be used by the builder, when we allow ourselves to possibly be chiseled back just a little bit and then fit into the whole of things, in perfect symmetry with the other stones, then we're getting a picture of what the church is supposed to be. But we can't do it on our own. Each stone has to be added to the fence. Each soul has to be added to the church in perfect resolution with the cornerstone, right? Jesus Christ. The cornerstone is the first stone to be laid, and so the angle of that cornerstone in a building or a fence or anything else, the angle of that cornerstone is the one on which all the other stones are depending. Let that cornerstone fall away, and everything falls. So that says to us that we follow Jesus. It's really quite simple. There's nothing complicated about being the church. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, and we follow. And because of this submission that we have to Jesus, this love for him, Peter says something. Y'all are going to be just embarrassed. You're going to blush. You heard Sandy read it. You know what Peter says we are? A chosen race. Not talking about the color of skin or where we were born, y'all. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. He goes on to say, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You ever thought of yourself as being a holy priesthood before? A chosen people, a chosen race. See, the thing about being a living stone, about putting yourself out there for God to pick you up and mess with you, is that there's always more. There's always more. God is always moving us from darkness to light. That's just the constant motion of God, moving us from darkness to light. And when you may think that you are all that you can be, the Holy Spirit meanders in and says something like this, "Oh, you think I'm finished with you?" No way. No way, Jose. He says, just move over. Let me build you into something greater than yourself. Let me make you into something that you might not even be able to see right now. Y'all, he's talking to us as individuals. He's also talking to the church as a whole. He's saying things like, what are you, 70 years old? 80 years old? What are you saying, look, this is all I'm ever going to be. It's just not going to get any better than this. He says, go ahead and say it. I'm not paying you one bit of attention. Just move out of my way because I'm coming. Scary, huh? It's so much easier just to stay like we are. It's so much easier just to keep the ideas we have and to keep the patterns and the habits that we have rather than to think God is pushing us into this light that calls us to maybe do something or be a little bit different. But don't panic, y'all, really. Don't panic, because usually we don't even know what's happening. Here's how it works. All our lives, if we're faithful and open, God's working on us. God's chiseling away those parts of our life that hinder us from fitting into his plan. See, with God, our work is always a work in progress. Our life is. That's why somebody thought of that cute little saying, please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. A lot of times, we think we're in control, don't we? We think we're the one driving the car. But that's not the case at all. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is changing us. He's changing us from a useless stone into a useful one. Before Michelangelo created his masterpiece, known simply as David, another sculptor named Agostino d'Antonio, I was going to say that well, he worked diligently on this piece of marble, trying to create something from it, but he'd been unsuccessful. And finally one day he just gave up. He threw up his hands and he said, I can't do anything more with this. This marble is just, the way it's made, it just won't chisel right, it just will not work. And some others tried after him, but failed. And finally, that big old piece of marble got just thrown on the trash dump. And it stayed there for 40 years. And one day, Michelangelo just happened to be out for a stroll in the afternoon, and he happened to walk by, and he saw that marble. And something about the marble connected with him, and he believed that it had great potential. And we know what happened, don't we? We know exactly what happened. From that seemingly worthless stone was carved one of the world's masterpieces of sculpture, David. Now, for Michelangelo, the job of being a sculptor was not so much to chisel away the stone and create something from the outside. He saw his job as being the one who was to free the one that was already inside the stone. I think that's just such a beautiful way of looking at it. He believed that every stone had a sculptor within it. It had a creation within it, and the work of sculpting was simply a matter of chipping away all that was not a part of the art. Y'all, we're going to come to this table, and we're going to be reminded that that's what Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, does for us. He just chips away everything that's not a part of the art, that's not a part of the creation that God created us to be. When we come here, Jesus will greet us, and he'll look at us, and he'll give us a good look. And he'll see it's not as a rough piece of rock, but instead he'll see our hearts. He'll see inside things that we can't even see in ourselves or in one another. He sees us as humble. He sees us as forgiven. He sees us as open and loved. And little by little, he chips away. He removes all those things that hold us back. That little bit of jealousy we were feeling yesterday, chip. That little bit of anger because somebody said something you didn't like, chip. That little bit of frustration because somebody has more than you do or you can't do something that you think you should, chip, chip, chip. Until all that's left is the beautiful creature that you are. He makes us new day by day. If only we will let him. And to our friend who's been sharing the rocks with us, don't stop. Keep on sharing. We need them. And may they be a reminder that God is not finished with us yet. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And then the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to hear our thanks and praise.
It is right. And a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in prayer and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen, amen and amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you, for each one of you. Each time you eat this, each time you see it, think about the incredible gift that has been given us by Jesus the Christ. This is the blood of Christ poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Know that there is nothing in this world that can separate you from the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You may try, but you'll never find it.